Brandela.
Hi, Brandy.
Did you... Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
We're starting with section six. I hope everyone enjoyed Tisha B'Av. We're starting at section six of the Parsha of Noach from the Zohar, the Sulam commentary, and we'll start with Pasuk 35. And we'll go L'Shem Yichud first. L'Shem Yichud, Kut Shabar Yichu Ishkin Te, Bid Hilu Urchimu, Ud Hilu, Ud Hilu Urchimu. Le'akta, L'Shem Yud He Bavav He. Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananeihu. Tachatzei Ilu Apik Adam Toldot. Migin Tadieden La'ishtatzun. Bedare darim, bela it hashach, mehora de si hara, leal mean le call ho, awoke I mean leal mean, the afilu malake, elai, la kaime, kamaihu, in hora. The Ziva, the Hachmata, Kimadiat Amer Betselem Elokim, Barauto Aval Kevan, the Garim Hat A Unpak Ihu, Megin Tadieden, the Avad Toldot. Levar la it kaimu. Come and see. If Adam had brought generations with him from the Garden of Eden, they would have lived for generations. And the light of the moon, which refers to the light of Malchut, would have never been darkened. And all would have lived forever. And not even the angels above could have stood before them and borne their light, the brilliance and wisdom. As it is written, in the image of Elohim, he created him. But because he was the cause of the sin, he had to leave the Garden of Eden and bear children outside. So his generations did not last because they were not fit. Questions, comments, thoughts. Malka, we're in section 6 of Noach, starting with the first verses, verse 35.
Okay, thank you.
Does anybody have any comments or questions?
To me, that was what all section 5 was about. It keeps repeating. It evidently wants us to know that Noah had more merit than Adam did, and
but it goes a little bit more than just that. I agree with you. It is summarizing from before, but it's also going deeper. It's saying that if Adam had not sinned and he had children in the Garden of Eden, those children would have been on such a level that the angels couldn't have withstood it.
What would have happened to the angels?
And they would have been burned by the light that the children of Adam would have revealed.
Which group of angels are we talking about?
Well, the Garden of Eden is representing Malchut, but there are two Gardens of Eden, so we're really talking about all of them.
All of the angels?
Because we live in all of the worlds at the same time. Should I go on?
So, if that would have happened, then Adam and his children would have been basically the spiritual world. They would have been acting in, as in the, I say duties lightly, of what the angels were doing.
No.
Or would that not have been, or basically that would have been the messianic?
Yes. It would have been the messianic consciousness, where you would have had the heaven on earth.
Right.
There would have been they would have traveled between the level of the Garden of Eden and to the physical level as they chose.
Kind of like Elijah does at this point.
Say again?
Kind of what Elijah does at this point. He can appear in all worlds, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's the astral travel that people speak of when they're connected to when they're not just staying in the physical dimensions, they're able to travel up and down as well. That's what the sages, essentially the Tzaddikim, are able to do.
Wow, okay.
It's really, the verse is demonstrating what we truly lost through the sin of Adam.
Yeah, really. Okay, with that said, how many generations would have been born after that? Would it have been just that generation? I mean, I would consider still having children, but we're talking about, let's just say us, this generation now. Then that generation never would have came to be, right? Our generation. Wrong?
Our generation would not have been necessary. But
right.
If people didn't complete their work in earlier lifetimes, they would have been necessary. But every soul group would have come into the world as part of the process. Now, there are other Kabbalists who basically said that if Adam hadn't sinned, then he would have completed the tikkun and it would have been unnecessary for any children to be born, that he would have done all the work. And others would say there would still have been work by the individual souls, chain of souls.
Well, yes, I can understand that concept, and I can understand the other concept, because we are all sparks of Adam, or actually we're trying to correct the tohu, the 288 sparks that were damaged. So,
well, we didn't need to. There would not have been that damage if Adam hadn't sinned.
True. Okay.
So the work would have been a slightly different aspect, and it's not clear what that would be. Verse 36. Amara bi cheskia v'kechech yachlin l'me ba'toldot taman de'ayil malei la'it meshech aleya yetzer hara v'chata'it kayam ihu bi'alma bilchodo Vila yaved toldot kegavna da il malei dechavu Yisrael biegla v'yam shiku alaihu Yetzir hara laivadu toldot li'almin Vila yetun darin Acharanin lematle alma. Rabbi Hizkiah then asked, how could they have begotten offspring there in the Garden of Eden? Had the evil inclination not been drawn down on him and he sinned? He would have dwelled alone in the world and would have not begotten any offspring. The same applies to Israel. Had they not sinned by the golden calf, and drawn upon themselves the evil inclination, after accepting the Torah, they also would have never borne any offspring, and no new generations would have come into the world. The main point is that the power of mating derives mainly from the evil inclination. So without the evil inclination, there can be no offspring. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So the only way that mating can happen is with the evil inclination to exist in each individual. I thought that Eve was formed when Adam was formed. He was both male and female, had a male-female soul.
Correct.
And he separated them. He separated them to be face to face. They were back to back, and they became face to face. So, with face to face, does that mean they were intimate, or and that was an evil incarnation? And or I thought that Hashem formed both. Well, he formed Adam, but they were both there. So how can that be?
Hashem created Adam.
Right.
And when the word Adam is used, it means male and female together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, initially, they were back to back. Then there was a process of them becoming face to face. And after the sin, that's when they made it, because the evil inclination became actualized by the sin. So this is one opinion, as I mentioned, that Adam would have completed the work if he had not sinned, if they had not sinned. He would have completed the work and there would have been no children. In the next verse, you'll have a different perspective.
Okay.
But to address the issue you raise, male and female are two different species. Those are my words and my opinion. The Kabbalists don't describe it that way. But essentially, the story men are from Mars and women from Venus, we all experience that. We use words, and a man understands the words to mean one thing, and a woman understands them to mean something else. And the communication between men and women they would never be friends. They would never be in union with each other. They would never, because that's the, they're literally two different aspects of something. That's what the meaning of the evil inclination, which is representing passion, representing attraction associated with what is foreign to you, that is the nature of the evil inclination.
I thought it had something to do with the idea that the feminine is on the side of Govi-Wa. So after they were separated, you then had Govi-Wa entering the world.
Basically, what you're telling me is like kind of what I'm hearing from a woman's perspective is that, as Hana just said, that we come from the left side, the feminine side. So we carry more of the evil inclination in a female soul more so than the male soul, because of enticement, you know, looks, dress.
No, you have to keep in mind, the female soul, when the quote unquote the operation took place, when Eve was taken out of Adam's side, at that moment she was injected with a greater consciousness associated with Bina. So she's a duality. She's a female, is connected to Bina, but she's also connected to Malchut. And Zeron Pin is connected to both, but is different than either one of them. When you study the four phases, the male is associated with Zeron Pin. It's associated with darkness, phase three. The female is associated with phase two and phase four. And that understanding gives you a way of understanding male-female relationships different than what you've been, you know, come to understand through the Western world and the physical world, and the interaction of male and female. A woman is higher spiritually than a man, potentially, or she's lower spiritually than man, and that's where you get the idea that a woman can build a man, raise him up to Bina, or destroy a man, lower him down to Malchut. But the evil inclination is due to the sin. The evil inclination exists, but if there wasn't the sin of Adam and Chava, we wouldn't have an evil inclination. We would just have the left column. We would have the desire to receive in order to share. But we don't understand that because we've never experienced it. We always experience this idea that male and female have this mutual attraction. But that mutual attraction comes from the left side. It comes from the evil inclination, which is stronger in the male than in the female. In the sense that the male will lust while the female will love. Am I making any sense or am I confusing?
I guess it's just that we're talking about just the action of mating is the evil incarnation, just basically not so much the male female, but it's when the action takes place. I'm a little. I'll have to do more studying on this.
The action is a manifestation of emotions. Mating is a manifestation of emotions. Now, in our generation, you have women being taught that it is appropriate, it is okay, all of the various adjectives you want to use, that they have the same lust that a male does. But in reality, the feelings of a female towards her mate is very different. Every orgasm that a female receives from her mate reinforces that feeling of love chemically or hormonally. Whereas the male does not receive those same reinforcements from the mating.
That makes sense.
But as I said, in this generation, women are exposed and taught a feeling that they can be just as lustful as a male. But the reality of the testing and all of the science says that they're two different species. Their hormonal flows are very different. Now, as a man ages and his testosterone level lowers, the female hormone, I always forget the name. As that rises within him, he becomes more connected to his spouse. But it's never the same reactive response or proactive response from his body's consciousness, from the hormonal changes.
So, question. When Zion comes down and meets up with Jerusalem, spiritual and the physical, and we have the Messianic era, there will be no, you don't think there'll be mating, you know, intimacy going on in the physical form?
Well, there is a,
The Jewish world
has been inculcated and influenced by the Christian world. And that the Christian world perceives the messianic consciousness as the same. There's 1,000 years of bliss. But that's not the real Jewish understanding of the messianic consciousness. When the Messiah comes, the first manifestation of Mashiach consciousness is the removal of the interaction between the 70 nations and the children of Israel. That's the only change that will take place initially with Mashiach consciousness. Israel will no longer be subservient to the 70 nations. But then there is a process of growth, maturation, a lot of different adjectives, over those 1,000 years of bliss where things do change. So initially, since nothing changes but the children of Israel will not be subservient to the other nations, there will still be children. Because any child that is descendant from Cain will have to experience an aspect of death that he may not have experienced throughout any of the other lifetimes. But as that maturation takes place and the growth takes place, children will no longer be necessary. Some of the Kabbalists describe it as the children of Cain will have a death and a resurrection one after the other with almost no time between them. So it's a little bit confusing in view of what we have been absorbing from the Christian world. But if you read the prophets correctly, you'll begin to understand what I've just described. So have I become very confusing or not?
It's a little confusing. To me, it is. It's a little confusing, but I have to think it through. I don't understand why Cain's children have to die. Haven't they already died? Or do they have to die to get into another body, be resurrected?
There are certain sins that can only be fully cleansed. You can do teshuvah during the lifetime, but you have to die. And if those children, those people, have not been aware that they have to die, it's not part of their consciousness. They're perceiving death as everybody dies, and it's not unique to the children of Cain because he brought death into the world through his killing of Abel. It gets to the idea that we see what we expect to see. We experience what we expect to see. And that's true in the physical world as well as the spiritual world. And that's why a Muslim will go through the same tunnel experience that is described by all of the people who have died and come back, small percentage of people, but if they're Muslim, they perceive heaven in one way. And if they're Jewish, they perceive heaven in another way. And if they're Christian, they see it in a third way. All because you see what you expect to see. And one of the main important aspects of Kabbalah is to break you out of those limitations. And to be able to see truth rather than what you expect. And that's why we go so deeply into these verses in the Zohar. So that these klipot that keep you focused on this is what I expect to have happen, and therefore it does happen this way. And if you don't truly understand it, I suggest you listen to class 15 on from the basic classes that goes through what was the sin that Moses did when he hit the rock the second time, rather than speaking to the rock as God told him to. Because it's in that class, it may be class 16, but I think it's 15. One is relativity and one is the idea of mind over matter. And that helps you understand the idea that you're seeing what you expect to see. Han, I believe you wanted to say something.
No, I mean, I think you asked if you wanted to go on or something. I guess because I've heard you teach this, you know, over a period of 5 years, so that was why I said it was clear with what you had to say.
I understand, but for Maka, it's not yet
right.
Clear, so it will come. She has to... She and many, many people have to absorb
right.
What they have to absorb and break the klipot the way they're supposed to be, you know, ultimately
right.
Broken.
Well, I don't think Malka's gone through the basic class yet, so that would help
that,
too.
That does make a difference.
And I don't mind rehearing it.
I understand. Well... We have two more verses in this section, so we'll pick up on those on Monday. You might want to read ahead just to give you some understanding of why, how it can be that the verse we just read said that there would be no need for children, and the other opinion is that there would be a need for children. And what is the difference and how we can understand it. So I think if you want to read ahead on the English, that would be helpful for Monday.
Okay.
The class tonight at 7 o'clock West Coast time is questions and answers. I hope somebody will bring a question. Usually after Tisha B'Av, there are a number of thoughts that people have had. So they will bring questions, and hopefully that's true this year as well. Thursday, the 4:30 class will be Advanced Reincarnation. And the 7 o'clock class will be a Zohar class. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom. Thank you.